really part of what I'm going to be preaching on today is about what covenant looks like and what honor looks like. So that whenever you transition like Lynn is going to do, she's not leaving a family. She, as a family member, is going out into her purposes, and our covering goes with her. Like, we're in covenant relationship, and it's something that's very important. Sometimes, and some of my dear friends are here to worship with, I love them so much. And we had this conversation several years ago where when we first started to talk about this idea of what does covenant look like, and we were really kind of on this journey of unpacking covenant. And for a while there, covenant felt like I'm with you, and I'm not talking about marriage, okay? I'm just talking about covenant relationship from people to people. I'm with you forever until you die. Like in a church setting, like, you know, I'm in with you, I'm on the vision, and I'm with you until the day that I die. And you know what I discovered? That was never God's intention, to stay in one place like that. Instead, it was our hearts are one from here to eternity because we're in covenant. But there's going to be a time where one of us might have to step out and go pursue what God's calling, but that doesn't break covenant. And so today we're on week 13 of our Kingdom Foundation series, and we've got one more week next week. I just want to remind you that next week we're going to be taking up a miracle offering, receiving one, and I'm going to be preaching on kingdom finances. And really, as we set seed for what's going to, God's going to grow in 2017, so really be praying this week specifically what the Lord would have you give above and beyond tithes and offerings, but just what is it that he's placed on your heart. And I believe it's a down payment into what God's going to do in 2017 and beyond for us. That'll be next week. But this week I'm going to talk to you about creating healthy families and community through covenant and honor. Let me hear you say, creating healthy family and community through covenant and honor. And I know it's a long, long title, but sometimes we try to get cutesy, and I don't have to worry about tweeting this out, so I don't have to worry about a certain number of characters, okay? But really, one of the kingdom foundations is, how do we create family? How do we create community that is healthy and thriving? And so this morning, I want to talk to you about what the purpose of relationship is all about. What does covenant look like? And really, what does honor look like? It can become a buzzword, but really, what does it mean in a kingdom of God foundation that he's laying specifically? We must know that God has a purpose and that the kingdom of God is one of family. And Mike, if you could take me out of here, I don't know, it seems like I'm... The kingdom of God is one of family. If God did not want a family, then he would not have asked us to call him Father or Jesus his son. Have you ever thought about that? That this is not an organization, this is a family. This is not a 501c3. This is a family. One of the benefits of living in the United States is we can get a 501c3 status, but if we lose that, if we lose our tax-exempt status, we don't cease to be a family. And we'll say this, sometimes in church, and I've been there in the past because I didn't have a comprehension of what this looked like, and I was so worried that if I lost, well, if the ability for people to give and have the tax exemption, then it's going to hurt us as a church, and it's going to hurt our organization, and God's like, you're thinking about it wrong. I think there's many pastors are worried to talk about even politics because they're worried about losing that status, not realizing we're family. When you look what happens in China, whenever the Mao came into power in China, there was a small number of Christians. Mao, one of the most oppressive, I mean, he goes along with Stalin and Hitler, he goes along with Pol Pot, I mean, one of the most oppressive leaders around Christianity was outlawed. Christianity was, people were killed for being Christians. And in all these years later, whenever the China got opened back up for people to come back in, they discovered a thriving underground church. You know why that is? Because church is family. Church is not an organization. The church is not dependent upon a government saying whether it's valid or not. It's dependent upon a rightly related relationship with a Father and his Son and his Holy Spirit. And whenever you're in right relationship with that, guess what happens? It doesn't matter what happens in the world. You've got validation. You have provision. You have purpose. And so it's so important for us to understand that if we're going to operate as a kingdom church, you know, what does that mean? This is what we've been talking about, is that it must be one of family. So that means that we must set up a high priority. And I'll just say this, the marriage relationship is one of the greatest examples of a covenant relationship that you can find in the Bible. And here's why. Specifically, Jesus refers to his relationship with the church as one of a bride and her groom. It's so important. So that means this. If you're single or you're divorced or you're widowed and you're not in a marriage relationship right now, that doesn't invalidate where you're at in relationship. What it does mean, though, is you can look to marriage as something that grows. Like Jesus can really become your groom, really become your spouse, and this intimacy that can flow through that. In fact, if you're married right now, you should look at the way that Jesus treats you as a bride. And from that place, it's going to give you the capacity, either as a husband or a wife, to be able to love your spouse. And in Ephesians, I know he says specifically, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But that doesn't invalidate the opportunity for the wives to also take that same perspective and be able to love their husbands as Jesus loves them. It's this intimacy, and it comes from specifically covenant. Covenant is so important to God. It's a family relationship. And the real reason for relationship is to fulfill God's purposes in your life. The real reason for relationship is to fulfill God's purposes in your life. And in fact, see this, a kingdom of God is one of family, but a kingdom family is one that empowers, not controls. The kingdom of family is one that empowers, doesn't control. It's this idea of covenant relationship where the relationship is more important than being right. It means that you're going to disagree at some point. Married people, raise your hands. Do you agree with your spouse 100% of the time? At first. So what if your covenant relationship with your spouse was dependent upon who was right instead of who you were related to? That's why we see a tearing down. It's a misunderstanding. And so it's so important for us to understand what God has in relationship. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 says this. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate, and he realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one and only Lord." So that means this. You only have one spiritual relationship that can be the most important, and that's God himself. That means if you place any other God, which can be your spouse, it can be your work, it could be your hobby, it could be your hurt or your pain of the past, you can create it to be an idol. And you only have room for one most important spiritual relationship in this universe, and that is reserved for God himself. So he's saying, set the tone here. Remember, it's God first in your relationship. But look what he says here, because we're going to talk about boundaries a little bit later. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. Let me hear you say heart. All your soul. All your mind. And all your strength. It says the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. The teacher of religious law replied, "Well, teacher, you have spoken the truth by saying there is only one God and no other. And I know it's important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding, all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law." Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. We are to love God completely, love people the same. And in other words, we're supposed to go vertical in order to go horizontal. You look at the cross, it's a vertical and it's a horizontal beam. And if you want to have the capacity to love people in this world, you first must go, "There is only one God, and he is mine. There's no one that sits on the throne of my heart higher than God. I go vertical with it." And you know what that allows me to do? To go horizontal in my relationships. because it sets a tone, this download tone for me to go and love people out there as Jesus loves me specifically. See, in the world, there's only one room for one most important relationship, and that's your spouse. So we talk about there's only one important relationship spiritually, that's God. But here as humanity, you only have room. There's layers of your capacity to be able to relate with and love on and connect with people. That's why you have to have boundaries. Boundaries are so important. Boundaries are like the dam that holds the larger body of water away from the smaller river below so it doesn't get flooded. Boundaries are important. And you know, in a dam, they have water that is being released. It's not that there's nothing that comes through. It just means that not the whole entirety of it can reach that smaller river below. And so when you begin to set up covenant relationships, you begin to set up orders of priority. Who has access to my heart, my mind, my will, my emotions, my resources? Who has, and I tell my kids all the time, guess what, guys? I love your mom more than I love you. The first time I said that, they were shocked. What do you mean? Oh, you don't love us? Now they understand when I tell them that I've only got room for one most important human relationship, and that's my wife. She has the greatest access to me. And I tell them, here's what's beautiful. I love you kids more than I love anybody in the church. I love you kids more than I love my mom and my dad. I love you kids more than I love my in-laws or brothers and sisters. Why? Because they have greater access to me in covenant relationship than those others. And then it continues to go on outward where you have these boundaries of who has access to you. But it's important to understand that it must be an exchange of life, an exchange of I love the Lord my God with all my soul, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as I love him, it gives me the capacity to pour it out horizontally into the people around me. So God's model for relationship is covenant. Let me hear you say, God's model for relationship is covenant. What is covenant? The best common sense definition I've seen is this. Covenant is a prearranged set of conditions for the purpose of creating and maintaining a successful relationship that produces blessings to both parties and future generations. A prearranged set of conditions for the purpose of creating and maintaining a successful relationship that produces blessings to both parties and future generations. Prearranged set of conditions is boundaries. There's a responsibilities on both parties' part in this idea of covenant. And I say this, it also includes with it specifically the covenant, the old covenant. Let me just hit this real quick. When God set an old covenant between himself and Israel, the people of the earth, the only way that covenant could be broken is through the death of one of the parties. I don't know about you, but that seems like a nearly impossible set of conditions to break covenant. So covenant is not this flippant relationship. Like, you know, like sometimes when you're in elementary school or middle school, high school, sometimes like, will you go with me? Right? That's the beginning stages of learning how to engage with relationship. But that's not necessarily ready for a covenant relationship. You know what I'm saying? That's why there's a difference between cohabitation and covenant. Why is it so dangerous to live together before you get married? It's because you're starting to step into an area that was only reserved for covenant. Because there's soul ties, there's things that are developed in that type of relationship that cannot withstand, a cohabitation relationship cannot withstand those pressures outside of covenant. So covenant protects you as you enter into that. And that's romantic relationships. What happens when we as a church, the body of Christ, treat our relationship with the Lord and each other as a cohabitation? It means that at any point, I can be out of here. If I don't like what you say, if I don't like what you're doing, I am not committed to you forever and forever. Because I'm not in covenant with you. And so there should be no expectation that I'm with you forever when I cohabitate. But what happens when some of those things break up? One party has an expectation of covenant. The other one did not. And it creates lots of hurt and pain. God is not looking for cohabitation. He's not. He's looking for covenant relationship where he inhabits you. Not cohabits. He wants to inhabit you. one flesh, spirit and soul, flesh, joined together with the oneness of God. And so it's so important to understand why covenant is important. But let me say this, why not a contract? Why not a contract? A contract looks to protect me and mine. A contract looks to protect me and mine, where a covenant looks to mutually build lasting relationship or mutual success long term. In fact, a contract protects your rights and limits your responsibilities. A contract will protect your rights, limit your responsibilities, whereas in covenant, I lay down my rights and I pick up responsibilities. It means now I'm responsible for caring for you in a way that I would not in a contract. In a contract, in a business relationship, yeah, we might be joining in to go do business, but at the end of the day, let's not mistake ourselves. I'm out to protect me from what you may or may not do to me. That's why I have a contract. And a covenant says, I'm laying those things down. I am so committed to you in this relationship that I do not have an out clause. And in fact, I'm going to care for you at a level of responsibility that maybe you've never experienced before. And so it's important to understand it's a covenant, not a contract. In fact, Jesus laid down his rights as God and assumed the responsibilities of humans. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up. Let me hear you say he gave up. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. In other words, he entered into a new covenant with us by laying aside his rights and picking up our responsibility. Do you get that? How powerful is it? What was our responsibility? We had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and because of our sin, we were destined to die and go to hell for all of eternity separate from him. That was our responsibility. That was our liability. And Jesus laid down his rights to step into your responsibility so that he might reconcile you to him. This becomes, when we say Jesus is perfect theology, that also extends into this area of relationship, family, covenant, and honor. We can see from the life of Jesus how we can humble ourselves. So let's look at covenant. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Where Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I'm El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully, live a blameless life, and I will make a covenant with you. Let me hear you say covenant. Who made the covenant? God. He initiates the covenant by which I will guarantee, let me hear you say guarantee, to give you countless descendants. At this, Abraham fell face down on the ground, and the God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. And what's more, I am changing your name. It is no longer to be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father. Let me hear you say father. It was a covenant of family that produces family. You'll be the father of many nations, and I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and the kings will be among them. And I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. And it will be their possession forever. And I will be their God. The reason for a covenant relationship is to fulfill the purposes of God in your life. A covenant benefits or blesses both parties and passes it on to future generations. Do you want to know why it's so important to understand and have a healthy marriage? Have a healthy church relationship and family relationship in here? It's because we are setting a tone for these kids for future generations. To pass on legacy to the next generation. In the next generation, to 1,000 generations downward. We want to pass on this. And so one of the most important things you can do is, yeah, we want to go pray for the sick. We want to lay hands and cast out demons. But I'm telling you, it first begins in this atmosphere of family. One of the most supernatural things you can do is to love somebody that may not be lovable. One of the most supernatural things you can do is to lay down your rights and pick up responsibilities in covenant. Because it's in this place of stewarding covenant, stewarding hearts, stewarding relationships that God just goes, oh, I can trust you with hearts that are out there because you've stewarded well what I gave you in intimacy and in closeness to you. Sometimes we're saying, Lord, give me the world. And he's going, take care of what I gave you already. And you must understand it from a position of covenant. And what God says is this is a guarantee prosperity. People ask me, are you a prosperity preacher? I said, depends on your definition of prosperity. I believe he will prosper us financially. I believe he will prosper us relationally. I believe he will prosper us in influence in the earth. I believe he will prosper us in freedom and salvations. Yes, I'm a prosperity gospel guy, but it has little to do with finances. That's a side benefit. My God paves his streets with gold. Paying the bill is not a big deal to him. But at the same time, I'm not going to shut that down. We flail against that. Legacy passed on to generation after generation after generation that says, my God provides. There is nothing impossible for my God. Whatever you're facing right now in the covenant I have with him, the new covenant. In fact, let me read that real quick. 1 Corinthians 11:25. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after the supper, saying this, the cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. The new covenant. Jesus says, hey, don't forget, I have not changed my game plan, which has always been a family right related together with our Father. In covenant relationship that transforms the world. The way you take dominion, the way you take authority in the world is through this covenant. See, covenant builds long-lasting, successful relationships. So it's important to understand this. Number two would be this. Covenant is held together by honor. Covenant is held together by honor. Let me hear you say, honor is what holds covenant together. So it's a really great idea to talk about covenant relationship, but what is the glue? What's the linchpin? What binds us together? It's got to be honor. There's something about honor that's so powerful that we must not lose what it is. See, honor is this, and I'm just going to give you the world definition about honor, but then I'm going to give you the best definition I've ever heard recently. Honor is to esteem somebody or something, to have or show a great respect or admiration for somebody or something. Honor is to exalt somebody, to recognize somebody publicly or elevate somebody's status officially, usually by giving that person a title or a reward. Honor is paying tribute to somebody, to publicly praise somebody who has died and pay respects to him or her. Honor can be dignifying somebody or something, to give prestige to somebody or something such as an occasion by choosing to appear, accompany, or take part. That's the Webster Dictionary definition of it. Let me tell you what honor includes. Honor includes this. You don't have to change for me to be okay with you. As you are right now, if I really understand what honor looks like, you don't have to change the way you dress, the way you talk, your political beliefs, where you came from, backgrounds, what your future aspirations are, what team you root for, what college you went to, as much as we joke around in family. You don't have to change for me to be okay with you. That's honor. Sometimes somebody walks in the room and goes, I can't honor them because they don't look like me. Well, that's a very narrow way of looking at stuff. We have a diversity of people in here, diversity of race, diversity of backgrounds, diversity of economic place, the diversity of education, diversity of age. Diversity is beautiful, and it's this place of honor. We come together as one place, one people. But honor also means this. You don't have to change for me to be okay with me. Most often, if somebody walks in the room that doesn't look like you and you start to get a little uncomfortable, it's because you're not comfortable with yourself. And you don't honor who God has made you to be. You feel less than. You got to put on airs. You got to do something. And so what you do is the tendency is, well, I've got to change the people around me to look like me so I feel comfortable with me. And that's not what God has for you. So be okay with who God made you to be. People don't have to change for you to be okay with you, or should not. Bill Johnson, we were at the Leaders Advance in, at the beginning of November, said this, or told Danny Silk, that honor is when I treat you the way I would treat Jesus. Honor is when I treat you the way I would treat Jesus. Pretty much sets the tone, doesn't it? Jesus walks in the room right now. Does that mean I'm going to worship you? No. We're talking about engagement, relationship. How would I treat you? Would I curse Jesus out? Would I gossip about Jesus? Huh? Would I steal from Jesus? Would I say that Jesus doesn't look like I thought he was going to look like, so he's got to get a haircut and trim his beard? Right? Now, how would you treat Jesus? And the same way you do that, you look to the people around you and go, that's the way I'm going to honor you. Because Jesus bought you with the same price he bought me. That means people who are lost, Jesus paid a price even for them. They just don't know it yet. And when we require those who are lost to behave as if they're saved, and that's the way that we show honor to them, is like, I'll show you, complete the sentence. To get respect, you have to. Let's try it again. To get respect, you have to. I think that's a foolish way of looking at the world. If no one ever gives respect or honor, it will never be given. I don't have to give you respect by first getting it from you. I give you respect because Jesus gave me his blood. So it's honor. That means we're going to have difficulties. That means we're going to have misunderstandings. That means we're going to have disagreements, and sometimes very vehement disagreements, especially in the area of politics and things like that. But that does not mean my honor should cease because I want to be right versus I want to be related to you. That means the world does not need to change for me to walk up to him and go, dude, Jesus loves you. Do y'all know who Todd White is? How many people know who Todd White is? I love Todd White. If you don't know who he is, look on YouTube. Dude's crazy in love with Jesus. He's got dreads. If you know his story, what he came out of, God radically saved him out of drugs and violence. And in fact, the other day, Chris and I had an opportunity to minister to a young man that was coming through. And in my mind, I'm going through, how would Jesus treat this guy? But I'm thinking, how would Todd White engage with this guy? I'm serious. And the reason I've said is, how do I need to not use Christianese? Well, the glory of the Lord is going to come on you right now, and he just loves you. Well, that doesn't mean anything, right? Dude, it's okay. And just begin to, you know, God loves you so much. Jesus loves you. You don't have to change for Jesus to love you. You don't have to change and be okay for me to talk with you. I don't want anything from you. I want nothing from you. I want something for you, but I don't want anything from you. And whether you change or not is not going to impact the way I'm going to love on you right now in this moment. That is honor. It's important for us to have a culture of honor in family. Remember, honor is about empowerment, not control. This might mess some of you parents up, because it messes me up sometimes. You have a group of little ones in your house for a period of time where you have lots of authority, and positionally you're bigger than them sometimes for a while, right? You hold all the money. You hold all the power. You hold all the influence. And it'd be really easy to walk up and say, you're going to do what I say to do. Well, why? Because I told you to. I've said that. What does that mean? Seriously, what does that mean? Instead of like, well, wait a minute, I honor you because God created you. I want to empower you to become the best you possible. So when I set boundaries with you, like don't do this, do this stuff, and when you violate those boundaries, yes, I'm going to come in to correct you, but it's not to control you. I want you to reach your best possible you. And that means I've lived a few more years on life longer, and I've got some other wisdom that you may not have. I want to guide you. I don't want to control you. It must come into a family relationship. That's why religion is so dangerous. Anytime religion gets into the church, it seeks to control God and control people. And we try to make God look like what we want him to in our little box, because I can handle what's in my box because I can control my box. But God was never meant to be controlled. Neither were people around you. So when we talk about this idea of honor, respect, culture, it goes much beyond words. It goes way beyond. Let me tell you this right now. Because I don't want to be dishonoring. I seriously mean this. I've been in church environments where the culture of the church environment is the man of God walks in and there's one guy holding his Bible, there's one guy carrying his coat, there's one guy getting him water and stuff like that. And I've seen it done in health. There's no dysfunction. There's no mess up on there. That's not about pride or ego or arrogance or any of that stuff. Like I've seen it. But I've seen it happen a lot more times where it was all about the dude. And so honor looked like who's ever in a position of authority, I need to get myself as close to them as possible. If that requires manipulation, if that requires butt kissing, if that requires whatever it is, I'm going to get into a place because my honor will only come from honoring the person in a position of power. Instead, in the family, yeah, I'm telling you guys are powerful. Look what Jesus told the people. John the Baptist is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Do y'all realize that John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet because he's what ushered in the new covenant before Jesus, the new Testament. And Jesus said, as great as John is, he's the greatest one. He's greater than Elijah. He's greater than Isaiah. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Abraham. The greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. And he says, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Honor. Why is that? Because my honor is dependent upon my relationship with him, what he says about me, and I release that. It's not that I first loved Jesus, but that he first loved me. Says John says this. He demonstrated honor to me. So often we say, well, God wants to humble the proud, and that's very true. He will humble the proud, but the problem is that we cut out the second part of the verse that says, but he will exalt or he will honor the humble. Do you do that in your own marriage? Do you do that in your children? Do you do that in your workplace? Do you do that as you go out to the grocery store? Do you walk in this level of covenant relationship with Jesus, covenant relationship with the church that is built and held together by honor so much that people feel empowered in your presence versus controlled? I hope so. There's hope in Jesus. He sets us free from all those bonds of religion and control, politics. You don't have to play politics. Remember what Jesus told his disciples, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod, religious spirit and a political spirit. When the religious spirit works its ways into a church, it becomes about control of the people. When a political spirit works its way into church, it boils it down into dog eat dog. Let me get to the top of the heap, and I want to prove Darwin right. The survival of the fittest, the survival of the savviest, the survival of the political connections. And what God's want to say is destroy that. Destroy that. Let the kingdom of God become a yeast inside of you where honor is nurtured and grown. Let's wrap it up with this. Honor is a heart issue. Let me hear you say, honor is a heart issue. So that means the condition of your heart is very important to God. The overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. Guard your heart above all else, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. You will never be able to honor somebody as long as you think it's an intellectual thing that you know, instead of the condition of your heart. See, God wants to honor you in such a way that it transforms you, the atmosphere of your heart, your mindset, the way that you approach it. See, honor releases others to be able to be themselves as God created them to be. When you have this culture of honor in a church environment, when you have a culture of honor inside of your family, your kids get to be who God made them to be. There's no competition of like, oh, I wish you were like your brother, or I wish you were like your sister. And one may be an artist, and another one might be an academic, and another one might be a blue-collar worker. And all those things are beautiful. They don't have to compete, because honor releases others to become all that God created and redeemed them to be. Honor also releases you to become all that God created and redeemed you to be. Now I'm not having to worry about to impress anybody or keep up with the Joneses and what car am I driving and what's the fancy slick, you know, thing we've got on the church building, the website, or anything. Honor releases me to be free from manipulation, free from political spirit, free from control, so I can step more fully into Jesus. Who did you make me to be? How do you want to use me today? How do you want to partner with me today? What do you want to do? You get to play with Jesus when you understand the culture of honor. And now that means that all the diversity of the body, the different parts of the body, the way they work together becomes a beautiful symphony representing the body of Christ. And the final thing would be this, is that honor releases God. Let me say honor releases God. What do I mean by that? God has blessings stored up for you that are only unlocked through honor. You know why that is? If you don't learn to honor, you can't handle the resources or the destiny that he wants to give you, because it would crush you and kill you, and it would crush the people around you. You might have been praying, Lord, I want to go to this nation. I want to do this. Have you learned how to honor those in your life? Do you walk and cultivate a culture of honor? God is wanting to release blessings over you in ways that you could not possibly imagine. He's wanting you to reach people that have never been reached or will never be reached outside of you being Jesus to them. He has all that for you. But he knows this. If you can't be faithful with little, there's no way you could ever be faithful with more. And so in his grace and his mercy, he withholds the more until you learn how to be faithful with the little. And I'm going to tell you what right now, covenant and honor are the key to that. How do I honor God with my resources? What does he call me to do? Do I sow into the lives of other people? Do I give the people in need? Do I not live above my means and just go into crazy debt? Am I honoring the resources that God has put in front of me? And I'm wanting more resources, yet have I honored what God has given to me? In covenant relationship, remember this idea of legacy is that whatever God has in store for you, because you're his son or his daughter, that's part of your inheritance. But you won't get your inheritance unless you learn how to steward well what he's placed in your hand. So let's pray. In fact, why don't you all stand up with me? And I want you to grab hands with the people on the left or right of you. And pray with me. Father, right now, we just pray for the people on the left and our right. And I just speak right now to any hurt where family might have hurt you in the past. Somebody was not honoring you. They weren't treating you as you would treat Jesus. And because of that, you've been hurt. And because of that, you've pushed back from real and authentic relationship. And I just speak to your heart right now, and I say the people that are connected with you, you need to know that the devil cannot dictate to you what health looks like. So I release and breathe life over you right now in Jesus' name. I just release the completed work of Christ where it was paid for, your healing, your soul healing was paid for. I just release it over you right now. And let it be through that connection of the person to your right and your left. I just speak right now, Lord, where there has been a misunderstanding of what covenant looks like and what honor looks like right now. And as a people who are joined together right now, I declare that we, Legacy Church, are a covenant people. And Lord, we will live from this day on, Lord, whether it be in the elder team, the leadership team, the family here at Legacy, as a covenant people who love and honor you with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and who we turn around and we honor and love our community, our family, the world around us with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And that through this, Lord, 1,000 generations are going to be blessed right now. That the history and the destiny of people are going to be changed in a moment. And now, right now, just go ahead and put your hand over your own heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Father, the promise of the Father. I declare over you the spirit of sonship. He's doing more than I can say right now. Father, we thank you that every person would sense, feel, know, taste, hear you, the love of a Father that says, you are my children in whom I'm well pleased. And we declare this right now in the name of Jesus and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Now, altar ministry team, yeah, give him some praise. He's good for it. Honor him. If you have a prayer need for anything whatsoever, do not leave this place. We have our altar ministry team that wants to pray with you. We've been seeing testimonies every week of physical, miraculous healing, inner hurts being healed, demonic strongholds being broken. Come forward, be prayed over before you leave. Otherwise, have a great week. Yeah.
If you have been asking for the ability to hear God's voice, I feel like somebody's needing that. I've been praying for that. It was very profound. If that's you, come forward. We're going to pray with you, okay?
All right. Have a great week.